Today's shiur Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadik Zayin Amar Aleph. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Zayin, 12 lines from the top. The Gemara at the end of yesterday's shiur had quoted the pasuk in Yechezkel. The Gemara had used it to teach us different halachas regarding the shulchan, but the Gemara makes an observation. The pasuk begins with the words Hamizbeach, Hamizbeach Eitz. The Torah begins, the Navi begins with the words Mizbeach Eitz, but then the pasuk concludes B'sayim B'Shulchan. The pasuk says Zeh Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. So how do we understand this? Are we talking about the Shulchan, or are we talking about, ask the Gemara, are we talking about the Shulchan, or are we talking about the Mizbeach? It says the Gemara, B'yachim Rebeloz Adam Tavayu, they explain this, the B'zman Shebeis HaMidosh Kayim, when we had a base Hamikdash standing, so then Mizbeach Mechapel Adam. We had Kabbanis brought on the Mizbeach, and that brought a Kapara. However, now when we no longer unfortunately have the base Hamikdash, Shulchanai Shel Adam Mechapel of the Shulchan, what brings Kapara. The Pashup Shat in this Gemara is that either explain the Mefarshim that the tzedakah that one gives on the Shulchan, that one invites guests to his table, is what brings the Kapara. And others explain that the Tivrei Torah that are said at the Shulchan bring the Kapara. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rav Shimon Oymer Shlosh Shachol HaShulchan Achad, there's three people sitting at one table. V'loy Amrol of Tivrei Torah, Kilu Ochlum Zivche Mason. And on the other case, and continues the Mishnah, Avashloish Shokla Shulchan Achad, if three people sit at the same table, Vamarlov Divrei Torah, and they say Divrei Torah at the table, was Kilu Ochlu B'Shulchan Shamokim. The Gemara Mesechta Brachas, Daf Nun Dalaran Beis teaches, Amr Yehuda, Shloisha Dvarim Hamarach Behen. There are three things that if somebody spends time at them, Marichin Yoma Vishnoisav Shaladam. They have the ability to bring us Arichas Yomim. And the Gemara says that Marach Bitfilosai, somebody spends time davening. Vamarach Ashulchanai, somebody spends time at his table. Vamarach Besakisai in the bathroom. And the Gemara explains that what is so special about spending time on the Shulchan, because if, as you're sitting by your table, a poor person will come and ask for tzedakah, so the person, you will be there because you spend time at your table, and that's the way you're going to have that, how you're going to give tzedakah. The question, of course, is that why does the Gemara use the word marach al shulchanai? Shouldn't the Gemara have said marach b'sudasai? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra, Tanya Amr Bishmo ben Elisha, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Dinu Shenigzor Al Asmeinu, Shloi Lecha Basar, Shloi Lishtas Yayin. It would really be appropriate not to eat meat, not to drink wine. Ela Ein Gozrim Gezer Al Tzibah Elam Koyim Rebbe Tzibah Yichayim Bay, Chazal, they make a not make rules that were impossible to follow. And telling everybody that they can't eat meat is difficult. But what one should do is one should prepare a meal and not eat everything that he prepared. Zeich l'chorben. Says the Mashal that by doing so, it's considered like you brought a carbon. But if that's the case, ask the Mashal, if you're not eating everything you prepared, Seichel Chorben, you're going to finish your meal very quickly. And if you're going to finish your meal quickly, then when the poor people come, you won't be there anymore. So therefore says the Mashal, the Gemara says, Hamarach al Shulchanai. Don't be marach in eating. On the contrary, when it comes to eating, maybe hold back from eating in order to show your Seichel Chorben. But what you should do is, be marach al shulchanai, stay at the table so that people should be able to come to your table and have opportunity to get from your meal. There's another halacha that the Shibalei Halakit quotes, that the minig is to take the knife off the shulchan when we say Birchas Hamazon. And the reason is that the knife will remind us about the Churban Abayis. And if you'll have a knife reminding you of the Churban Abayis, Rachman Tzlan, you may come to harm yourself with that knife. And that's why indeed the Shulchan Aruch in Eirachayim, Simen Kuf Pei Sif Hei says that the minig is to cover the knife. However, on Shabbos and Yontif, we don't do so. And the Magen Avraham explains that the other days of the week that we, the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din of L'Sinof L'Ei Barzal, and when we build the night, when we build the shulchan we're learning here is compared to the mizbeach. During the week, we build the mizbeach, so we cover it. Shabbos and Yontif, we don't build the mizbeach, so therefore, we don't have to cover the knife. The question is, why is it specifically that we cover the knife when we say, why specifically by Birchas Hamazon? If the concern is that the shulchan is compared to the mizbeach, and if the shulchan is compared to the mizbeach, we should and there's a din, as we're learning, of the son of Elaine Basil, it should take place all week, all the time. We shouldn't have a knife. So the Shas HaTshuvos Be'er Eishek explains that this halacha is most appropriate when we come to Birchas Hamazon, which is the main part of the meal, because if the eating of the meal is like the avodah shechita, and the drinking at the meal is like Kabbalah, and the Divrei Torah is like the halach stam, the Birchas Hamazon like the Zrikas Mizbeach, Zrikas Adam, which we know is the main part of every carbon. That's when we think about the knife. Says the Asked Mashal Chachma, if we're learning that we don't bring a knife to the table, that we don't bring a knife to the table by Birchas Hamazon, by Shabbos and Yontif, because on Shabbos and Yontif, he says, on Shabbos and Yontif, we don't build a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about Loisonof, build a Mizbech, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about Loisonof Alein Basel. So ask the Mashiach Chachma, the halacha is we don't build the Mizbech at night either. So if we don't build the Mizbech at night, we should not have this din if we bench by night to cover the knife. So he answers that although they did not build a Mizbech at night, they did build the Bama at night. And since they built the Bama at night, it makes sense that they shouldn't bring a knife because the knife is allowed to be used for building the Bama. So as we learned, this halacha about the Shulchan Shel Adam is like a Mizbeach, is very relevant to different applications. One is, as the Shloss says, that one should make sure to always have people who need to eat at one table. And somebody, he says, who doesn't have an ani available, Baruch Hashem, we don't live in a world where there are people standing in shul necessarily waiting to be invited to a meal. Or let's say somebody's in a place where he's eating, where there are no aniyim. So he says that what one should do is that one, before every meal, the proper thing is to separate amount of money that is the value of your meal and that give the aniyim from that. Moreover, we learned that when one brings a carbon shlomim, he has to say, so when you bring a chatas v'asham, we learned, you say vidui. But when you bring a carbon shlomim, you don't say vidui, you say shira. So therefore, we're saying that sitting at the table is like bringing a carbon. And moreover, we know that when kabbanis were brought, the Leviim sang shira. That's why it's so important that one should sing smiris at his table, especially on Shabbos v'Yontif, to show the significance and the connection between the shulchan of somebody's shulchan and the mizbeach. More, as we also said, that one has to be careful to try to learn divrei Torah at the table. Another halacha that the Sefer Chassidim brings is that one, if there's a fly or an insect on your table, you should not kill it on the table, because the table is like a mizbeach. And just like one wouldn't be do so by the table, one wouldn't do so on the mizbeach, one shouldn't do that at the shulchan either. Also we know that halacha is the Shulchan Aruch paskins that in Siman Kuf Ayin, a mesichim besuda, one should not talk during the meal, kadesh lo yagdim kana leveshet, but the windpipe should open up and open up instead of the food pipe. But that halach is not so relevant by Bizman Azeh, because that is when they lean eating on the left side. We don't eat leaning on the left side, so we don't have to, we don't have to be so concerned. As we've been saying, there's a specific point that one should learn Torah at the, or say Divrei Torah, as we said, when he sits at the table. And certainly, one should be careful by the table not to speak things that are inappropriate to be spoken. Imagine that you were at the Mizbeach. Would that be something that we would be doing? And all of this represents the importance of the table. The minig, I saw that many people make a suda on Rosh Chodesh, is very connected to our Gemara, because we know that on Rosh Chodesh they brought a special carbon. The special carbon that they brought on a carbon on Rosh Chodesh was for kapara, and if sitting at the table has the equivalent, has the equivalency of sitting on the as the mizbeach, so you want to represent that special carbon that was brought on Rosh Chodesh by making a suda Rosh Chodesh. Another pshat that I saw, that what is the significance of sitting by the table, Shulchan HaShulchan Adam, is Doim LeMizbeach, because we know that when they sat at the Mizbeach, when they were at the Mizbeach, we've discussed this, and they brought Kabbanis, the purpose of bringing the Kabbanis was to think that whatever is happening to this animal really ought to be happening to me. So when you're sitting by a table and they're serving animals or bird, poultry, and you think the same way as they thought when they brought a carbon, that brings a carbon. The Gra and the Sefer Kol Aliyah says that there, when the Torah speaks about the 11 ingredients that were used to make the Torahs, the Torah only identifies four explicitly: Shcheles, Levana, Chelbana, and Notif. And those, the first letters of all those four are Shulchan. Just like we know, he explains that the Torah has this incredible power to be mechaper. Here we're learning that the Shulchan also has the ability to be mechaper. At the Seder, we say in the Agada, "V'noich l'shem min hazvachim min hapsachim ashigia domam al kir mezbechacha." And if there's a night or a time where the Shulchan could bring kabanas, could bring kapara, it's certainly sitting at the Seder. What do we eat at the Seder? Matzah, Moro, Zroya, Beya, Charoises, Karpas, which are the Rosh Tevis of Mizbechacha. By eating the various foods that we just identified at the Seder, that's how we're able to have the Kapara of Mizbechacha, the Kapara of the Shulchan. The Sefer Divrei Shol, Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzon, is that we know that when somebody brings a carbon, he explains that that what is the power of the carbon to be mechaper? He says the power of the carbon to be mechaper is that what, as we are learning the Kachim Masechtos, and there are so many details involved in bringing a carbon. So he says that's the power of a carbon. And he says the same thing would be when we sit by the table. The kapara, the power of the carbon, is that we followed all the rules that the Torah set forth in bringing a carbon. The same thing is when we sit by the table and we eat the food that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted is the food, and we eat food that is kosher, and we follow all of the rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. That is the kapara that brings us, that is the kapara that the Shulchan brings. Another pshat that the Sefer Divrei Yisrael explains, that everybody wants panosah berevach, that we should have enough income. He says, if somebody uses his shulchan, as we've been describing, to use it as a place to give tzedakah for Divrei Torah, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, that by that we will have panosah, that we'll have the panosa that we need. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Likute Yehuda, he says, the Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis teaches us, Kol Anenim Olam Hazeh B'Loi Bracha, if somebody has any benefit from this world without making a bracha, Kilu Goizel L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us for bracha. So he points out that if we look at the wording of our Gemara, the wording of the our Gemara is Shulchanoi Shel Adam. What does the Gemara say? Shulchanoi Shel Adam. Of course, the Shulchan belongs to somebody. Why does the Gemara use the word Shulchanoi Shel Adam? So he says the gematria of Adam is the same gematria as the word Ma. And the Gemara says Ma Hashem Alkech Yisrael Meimach. And we say, and the Gemara says, Al tikri ma elameya, the halacha of the meya brachas. Shulchanah shel Adam, the shulchan of the Adam, which is the gematria ma, which is a representation of the meya brachas that we say every day, that we say when we, the meya brachas that we say as we sit at the table, that when the person makes the brachas, mechaper olav, when a person makes the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make as we eat, as the halacha wants us to eat when we're eating, that's what brings us a kapara. And one more vart is a vart that I saw from Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zitzal. Rabbi Aaron Kotler says that what is pshat in this Gemara that the Gemara is teaching us about the Shulchanoi Shel Adam Mechaper Olav. So he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, B'chol drachecha de'ehu. It is our obligation to serve Hashem in every way possible. What does that mean, to serve Hashem in every way possible? Of course, it is obvious and understandable that we serve Hashem when we're sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning, and where we're doing mitzvahs. That's, of course, acts of avodas Hashem. But the lesson of this Gemara is that Shulchan Shel Adam, when we're sitting at the table, eating, and drinking, that is also a manifestation of avodas Hashem. And that's showing that even in that fashion, we are supposed to serve Hashem. And therefore, if somebody lives his life, then in every aspect of his life, he uses it for avodas Hashem, then he's zoche to Shulchan Shel Adam mechaper olav. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Arba snifin shazav ha-yisham, there were four gold boards by the Shulchan, and there were 28 poles, 14 for each row of lechem upon him. Says the Ramanan Emili, how do we know, asked the Gemara, that that's the way the Shulchan should be constructed? Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Amar Rav Ketina Amakra, the Pasuk says, when it tells us to make the Shulchan, Vasisa Karoisov, Vechapoisov, Vekesvoisov, or Manikiosov, Ashiusbehen. Karaisov, Eilu Tfusim, as we discussed, that they had molds, in which there are three molds, as we learned, that they had when they baked and had the Shulchan. Kapaisov, Eilu HaBezichen, We've spoken many times that the Torah says we should have 2 spoonfuls of levaina that are put on the shulchan that are burnt every Shabbos. Kesvaysav are the snifim that we're speaking about now, that they're the boards that hold the shulchan in place. Or menekiyaysav, elu akonim, those are the poles, ashiyusbehen, that they put the bread on. They were used to put the bread on. And as we said, the reason that the Torah wants that the breads should be separated with these poles, we don't want one directly on top of the other. They are very fragile and they could easily break. Ask the Gemara Masav Rava, ask the Rava, the Mishnah said, Lesida Akonim, Velani Tilosam, not putting in the poles, Velani Tilosam, and not taking out the poles, doiches Shabbos, or doiches Shabbos. But ask the Gemara of Yisak Adatach, if we're saying, as we just said now, that this is a din that's based on the Torah, Midaraisa, Amai, Ein doiches Shabbos, why are they not allowed to be done on Shabbos? There's a very interesting Rambam. We're learning here, as we're going to discuss quite extensively, that we don't put in and take out the poles on Shabbos. So when do we? So we take them out from between the breads already before Shabbos, as we're going to learn soon in the Braisa, and then we put them back after Shabbos. So from Rashi, it seems that Motzei Shabbos, we put the poles in. We don't want to do it on Shabbos, we put it in Motzei Shabbos. The Rambam, however, says that they waited till Sunday. And the way the Mefarshei Rambam explained, the Migdash Dovid I saw explains the Rambam, as one is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash without a mitzvah requirement. So Motzei Shabbos, to go into the Beis HaMikdash specifically for this purpose, is, says the Rambam, you can't go. So you have to wait till Sunday when you're going in anyway and then put in the poles. But now the Gemara is asking, if we see that putting in the poles is something that's taught midaraisa, then the halacha is that why should you not be allowed to do it on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, Hadav Rava, Lab Nusidami. What I just asked is not really that difficult. The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Klal Amar Bekiva, Kamal Chashesh Lasoy Soim Erev Shabbos, anything that can be done from Erev Shabbos, any Dachas Shabbos may not be done in the Shabbos. And Hani Nami, and the poles, Efshdaloy Dachi Shabbos Olayu, we have no right to be Michal Shabbos. Because says the Gemara, Tamamai, what's the reason we put in the poles? As we've been explaining to Loy Lepish Lechem, the bread shouldn't break, the bread shouldn't get moldy. Bekai Shura, if we take out the poles on Friday afternoon and we only put them back in after Shabbos, Loy Ma'apish, we don't have to be allowed, we have no right, we don't have to worry about it getting ruined in that short amount of time without the pole. Tanya, as we said, the Bryce says, Ketzad, what did they do? Nichtas Merim Shabbos, the Kohen will walk into the Beis HaMikdash already Erev Shabbos v'shamtam and take out the poles u'menicham and would put them next to the Shulchan la'or k'shul Shulchan along the length of the Shulchan from Mizrach to Marv. Matzah Shabbos nichtas b'abir rosh shal chalas ha'malach nas Kohen u'tachteh, he would pick up one of the chalas and put in a pole. V'chaz mag'bir rosh shal chalas and so would he do with the other challah. Abba, says the Gemara, Abba challahs and tzoyis, as we know, as we keep on saying, there were 6 challahs per shulchan, per row, so the middle 4, tzricha shloisha shloisha konim, there are 3 konim between each shelf of challah. Hel yoina, the top challahs, and tzricha el shnayim, they're only on top of the ones below them, but there's nothing on top of them. Tachtoina, and the bottom, chalas, and it's tzricha kolikar, did not have to have poles under them at all. The fishmanachas al tarash al shulchan, they were placed on the shulchan itself, and that served as the way that they would be protected. Of course, many rishonim and achronim discuss in learning this Gemara that we know that the halacha is ein shvus b'migdash. So the question here is, why is there a problem of putting in, taking out the poles, of putting in the poles, isn't this only an Issa D'Rabbanan and Ein Shfus B'Migdash? So the simple teretz that many suggest is that this rule of Ein Shfus B'Migdash is not a rule that we said under all circumstances. There are many examples where they did not violate the Rabbanan and the Beis HaMikdash. The Migdash David cites the case of playing the flute by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos, but there was no right to play the flute if the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was on Shabbos. We learned that Beis Shammai's opinion is that we don't do smicha on a Karmel Chagiga on Yontif, because that you're not allowed to work with an animal. Another is the Gemara Masechta Tome tells us that we're not allowed to touch to move the Ketoris. Another pshat is that even that you're not allowed to bring the Dorim and Davis on Yontif, and the halacha is that if you did bring it, you're not allowed to do the Zrikas Adam, because the rule of Ein Shfus B'Migdash is not a rule that we apply under all circumstances. But the question is, what is the Shvus that is involved here that we are so concerned about? So there's two concerns. One is that it's Mechzika Bein of a Saiser. Putting in and taking out these poles look like building and demolishing. And now it's very, and the other one is Muksa. So some explain that, I saw that many, Rabbi Kivega actually says this, that even though we're saying Ein Shfus B'Migdash, but when there are two Rabbanans involved, which we just said there are two Rabbanans, Muks of the poles and Bein of a Saiser, there we don't apply the rule of Ein Shfus B'Migdash. Others explain that when we speak about the Rabbanans on Shabbos, there are two types of the Rabbanan. One type of the Rabbanan is a Rabbanan which Chazal made a new rule. And another type of Rabbanan is where Chazal made a rule to protect a deraisa. And if we think about Muksa, and we think about the Bein of a Saiser, the Rabbanan here, because really putting in a pole and taking out a pole is not a true act, the Binyan V'Stira. These are example of the two different types of the Rabbanan. Bein of a Saiser is a Rabbanan that was instituted because they were concerned that you may come to be over the Raisa. And the other, and Muksa, is a new independent Gzeirud Rabbanan. So the way to understand here is that, the way I saw Achroinim explain this Gemara, is that we have these two different types of the Rabbanans. So even though there's a rule, as we say, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, but even though there's this rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, there's the two different ways of understanding the Ein Shvus B'Migdash. And because we have these two different ways of understanding Ein Shvus B'Migdash, but here we have both types of Shvusin. Since here we have both types of Shvusin, we don't apply the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. The Michas Chinuch discusses what would be the halacha if Yontov fell on Friday or Yontov fell on Sunday. So what did our Gemara just say? That if the poles won't be there for a short amount of time from Friday till Shabbos when they take it out, or from Shabbos to Matzoy Shabbos when they put in, it's not a big deal. What will be the halacha when we have Yontov the day before or Yontov the day after? So now it's a longer amount of time. Would they be allowed to, what would they do? He says that we would put them in, but it seems that the Achronim say that under these circumstances, they would put them in on the Yontif versus on Shabbos. When we have a choice to do this on Yontif or on Shabbos, we're certainly going to prefer to do it on Yontif than doing it on Yontif versus doing it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. We learned in the Mishnah, so now our Gemara begins to discuss the actual dimensions of the Kalim and the Mishkan, which our Mishnah already discussed. Before we go further, we've just been learning the sugya of the lechem aponim, and there are those that question, why don't we say every Shabbos they did the lechem aponim? Why don't we speak about the lechem aponim? Why don't we say by the davening or by the maftir if it was something that was done every Shabbos? And an answer to this question, I actually saw that the reason is because the lechem aponim was done after the musaf on Shabbos. It was done well after Chatzos. Since it was done well after Chatzos, we already are eating our suda, because on Shabbos you're supposed to eat your suda, you're supposed to make the suda before Chatzos. So to say the parasha of lechem aponim in shul before Chatzos is inappropriate, because the zman of the lechem aponim has not yet come. So that's why they weren't able to institute it as part of the tefillah Shabbos. But it is therefore, some have the minig, and makes a lot of sense, that at the table on Shabbos, after Chatzos, when you're eating, and it's after Chatzos, a good thing to do, perhaps, would be to say the parasha of the lechem aponim. It says the Mishnah Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah says, in Masechta Kelim. So the Mishnah is discussing the Amis that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So Tanan Hossam Ramei Amar, Kol Am Shai B'Mikdash, all the Amis that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, Beninis. They were Amis of six Tfachim. Chutz, Mimizbech Hazov, except for the Amis that were used for the Mizbech Hazov, the Karen and the Saiviv and the Yusoid that were used on the Mizbech Achitzin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Amis Binyan, Amis that was used to build the Beis HaMikdash, Shisha Tfachim, was a sixth Tfachim Amma. Shal Kalim, but the Amma that was used for the Kalim was Chamisha, was a five Tafach Amma. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, and to which Rabbi Yochanan says, Vishnei Mikra Echad Darshu. They both are using the same Pasuk. As we know, the Navi Yecheskel says Nevuah about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Ve'elam Midas HaMizbeach Ba'amas, Amma, Amma, The Pasuk says that the Amis that were used in the Mizbeach were five Tfachim, and some Cheika Amma says, V'amma Roichav, the Amma of the Cheik and the Amma of the Roichik, Ugvula Asfasus Saviv Zeres Echad, was a half an Amma that was used in other places. Everything's going to be explained. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach, says the Gemara. What does the Pasuk mean? Chek ha-amah zeh yisoid. We know there was a base on the bottom of the, there was a base at the bottom of the mizbeach. That base was an amah of six tvachim. Amah roich zeh ha-soiviv. The mizbeach was built. We brought a mold of sticks that were 32 by 32 amma. They filled it all up by amma high, and they poured into it gravel cement. And then on top of it, they built the area, another 4 amma of the yisoiviv. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara again, chek amma zay yisoid. That was the amma of the yisoid. Amma roich of the yisoiviv. That's the amma that was used to make the yisoiviv. We know on the Mizbeach, there were the corners that each one was an amma by an amma. We're talking about the Mizbech Azov. Remeya Sover, so Remeya holds, the Pasuk says here, Zer ba'amma beis chamisha, that here they use that amma five tfachim, hakol amas kalim, all the other ammas that they were used were ba'amas ba'as sheish. They used an amma of six tefachim. Yehuda Sover, k'zeh yir kol amas kelim, that this was the type of amma that was used throughout the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara Kesal Kedatach, she'soid at soiviv, that from the yisoid until the soiviv, I said we started with the yisoid, then we went in to an area that was indented, says the Gemara, that was used with amma ba'as chamesh, the Midah Goiva. That means from the Yisoid until the Roichev, we should be using an Amma Abbas Chomish. Says the Gemara, Goyva Hamazbeh Chavo. So first the Gemara establishes Goyva Hamazbeh Chavo. What was exactly the height of the Mizbeach? So says the Gemara, the height Goyva Mizbeach was, says the Gemara, Esa Amos. Says the Gemara, it was 10 Amos. But now, the Gemara is saying, we're using different type of Amos for the different sections of the Mizbeach. Shis, 6 of the 5 Tfachim, 6 of those Amos were Bnei Chamsha Chamsha. The bottom 6 were 5 Tfachim Amos, V'Aboer, and the upper 4 Amos of the Mizbeach were Shita Shita, were 6 Tfachim Amos. So if we count that way, that means 6 times 5 and 4 times 6, that would mean the entire height of the Mizbeach was Chamishim V'Arba. 30 plus 24 is 54. So if that's the case, we know that there was the midpoint of the Mizbeach. According to this, where would the midpoint of the Mizbeach be? Pal the Mizbeach Kamahava, where would it be? Esrim V'Sheva, at the point of 27 Tfachim. Mikronis at Soiviv Kamahava, what was the distance from the top of the Kronos until the Soiviv? Esrim V'Arba, it would be 24 Tfachim. How much distance would there be from that spot until the halfway part of the Mizbeach? We would have 3 Tfachim. So somebody who's standing on the ledge is exactly 3 Tfachim above the center of the Mizbeach. But says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, we discussed this numerous times, there was a Chutcha Sigra Chogabem, so there was a Chutcha Sigra which is right at the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Kedei lahavdol, because the Torah, when it speaks about different karbonas, particularly by different karbonas, both by animals and by birds, some had to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, the blood, and some had to be on the bottom half. Kedei lahavdol, bein domeh al yonel medom techtak toinem. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, gaba oyla sa'if. The Braisa says regarding the Oyla Sa'if, he's a Oyla Bekevis, and when they brought the Oyla Sa'if, the Kayan would go up the ramp, upon Oyla Sa'if, and then he would turn right to walk along that ledge. Bal Oyla Kandramis Mizrachis, he would come to the southeast corner, or Malik Sroish Mimul Arpa, that's where he would do Malik on the bird, or Mavdal, as the Halacha requires by the Oyla Sa'if, to separate the head from the body, or Maitzes Domal Kermis Bayach, and then the halach is that he takes the bird and he squeezes it that the blood should spurt out. We've learned that the two opinions had that's done. Some say that they just pinch together the bird's neck and blood spurts out. Others say it's done along the wall and it spurts onto the wall in the Mizbeach. And others say that they squeeze the bird onto the wall of the Mizbeach and that's how the blood came out. And the halach is that the bird, this all has to be done by the oil sa'if on the upper half on the Mizbeach. But the Braisa says that if it's still within an amma below, if the blood is within the amma below his feet, he's still in the upper half. But that's not true. The Braisa says, the Moslem Atam Aragalos of Philamach Ksheira. But now the question is, but we're learning that this was only 3 tfachim above. We're learning that it was above 2, it would only be allowed to be within 3 tfachim of where he's standing, because otherwise it would already be in the lower half. Ella, so because of this, the Gemara has a whole new interpretation of what it's meant when they use the 5 tfachim and when they use the 6 tfachim. Says Machek Amas the Knisa. It refers to the indentation that we mentioned earlier, that the Yisoid sticks out past the rest of the Mizbeach. Amar Roich of Knisa, the Amar that we're speaking about is Gvul al Soiv of Knisa. So when the Pasuk is speaking about that Amar, the Pasuk is saying is that all of the height of the Mizbeach was always used a 6 tfachim. when the Pasuk says that they use a 5 tefach amma, it was talking strictly about what they use for the base, and for the ledge, and for the kronos. So says the Gemara, let's think about this now. So according to this, if for the height of the Mizbeach, they always use 6 tefach amas, and the Mizbeach, we say, was 10 amas tall, so if that's the case, Mizbeach kama havalei, what was the height of Mizbeach shitin? 60 tefachim. According to that, pag the Mizbeach kama hava, what was the midpoint of Mizbeach? Tlosin. According to that, Mikronis at Soviv Kamahava, how much was the distance from the top of the Kronis until the ledge? Esner V'arba. Kamabotzel Pagdim Mizbeach, if that's 24 from the top, how much is left to the midpoint? 24 to 30, Shisha, would be 6 Tfachim. V'tanan, and now, says the Gemara, it's perfect. It means, Emoslamatim Raglav Afila Am Achis Ksheira, if the person who's working with the oilus oif squeezes the blood within an amma of the midpoint from where he's standing, he's still on the upper half because he's standing at the 24 tefach point and he has till the 30 tefach point to still be in the upper half. So says the Gemara, according to what we are now explaining, where did they use the smaller amma, the 5 tefach amma, b'knisa? Ask the Gemara, is that the way we can understand? But with Tanan, the Mishnah says, Mizbeach ha-shloshim shtayim ha-shloshim shtayim. The width of the bottom of Mizbeach was 32 amas by 32 amas. All the amas, then we go up an amma, the konas amma, and we go inward one amma, and that's where that represents the side, the base. Nimtza, so we find that since now the base is indented by an amma, so how much are we up to now? Shloshim shloshim. But says the Gemara, but if the width of the base is not measured with a 6 tefach amma, but rather it's measured with a 5 tefach amma, so it's really not just shloshim, it's shloshim shnei tefachim, because we're missing a tefach, because this amma is smaller. The Su, the Mishnah continues explaining the dimensions of the Mizbeach, the Mishnah continues saying, Ola chamesh v'konas amma, and that's the soiviv. Nimtza esr v'shmeina, esr v'shmeina, that the soiviv is that is the Mizbeach at that point is 28 by 28. But that's not true because if those indentations, asked the Gemara, are measured with 5 tefach amas, we're adding amas. So now it should already be Esr v'shmeina v'av tefachim hava. That's the amount that we should be considering. Continues the Gemara. V'chi tema. So says the Gemara, your point is correct, but the reason it's not mentioned, is because loyhava amma, if it doesn't amount to an amma, loychashvila, it's not mentioned. But now let's go further. We learned that the top of the Mizbeach, the word of Kronos, the corners, makaronis, amma mizeh v'amazeh, nimsa esr v'sheish al esr v'sheish. And that we say we deduct that from the top of the Mizbeach, then the area of walking that is open on the top of the Mizbeach is 26 by 26. But says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, if we're using amis that were 5 by 5, there were 5 amis, so ask the Gemara, it's not 26. We've gained through all this tfachim, and then now the top is Esr V'Shava. Says the Gemara in Loidok. What happened was that the Mishnayis were not precise with the figures. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah says, the Makam Hilch Ragli Kahanim, that on the top of the Mizbeach, where the Kahanim walked, what was the area that they walked? Am Mizeh Ve'am Mizeh. And we have here, therefore, because we have to take off space. We have the space in the middle of the Mizbeach, and on the side of the Mizbeach is where the Kahanim were able to walk. But ask the Gemara, if that's where the Kohanim were walking, Nimsa Esra Abba, Vasra Abba, it wasn't, it's 24, says the Gemara, and the place of the Marocha should be Esra V'chamish Avi. V'chi Tema, and again, suggests the Gemara, what we'll say perhaps is, the Loidok, that Chazal weren't, the Mishnah wasn't precise, V'ksiv, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, the area of the top of the Mizbeach was 12 by 12. We would think that's only an area of 12 and 12. From the midpoint, it's 12 in each direction, which would be a total of 24. But this is a pasuk. The pasuk saying that the area was 24. But the way we're learning now, the area wasn't actually 24. The area was actually 25. And on a pasuk, the Gemara doesn't want to say loidok, that the pasuk is not precise. V'chi tema. So the Gemara says another way of answering. Shit minay mikar ba'am b'schev mishamaisalei. That six of the 32 amas of the width of the amma were originally with amma 5 tvachim. And im kain, if that's the case, that six of the 32 amas were originally measured only with 5 tvachim, then everything then will work out fine. But the problem is that you're making the mizbeach smaller. And if that's the case, rav kalei azara, you're making the empty area in the azara bigger. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us that kol hazara, the entire hazara, was a length of 187. Al roichiv on a width of meiv shloish v'chamesh, 135. In mizrach, when you go from east to west, it was a length of meiv shmein v'sheva. And now the Mishnah breaks down that 187. Makom dris is ragel Yisrael. As we enter the Beis HaMikdash compound, as we enter the Azara, the place where Yisraelim stood was Achas Asrem, 11 Amma. That's the place where Yisraelim could stand. Then there was another 11 Amma. There was the Makom Drisus Ragel Kahanim, Achas Asrei Amma. Then the Mizbeach took up 32 Amma. Then there was a space, Beina Ulam LeMizbeach, of Esrem Shtayim Amma, 22 Amma. The Beis HaMikdash itself was 100 Amma. And then there were 111 amma, achas amma, achure besa kabaris. Now, if we're saying now that the width of the mizbeach was not 32 by 32, because they didn't use that type, it was only 31 by 31, we have something, we have an extra amma that is not accounted for in the Azara. It says the Gemara Cheka amma, when we speak about the amma begoiva, amma roichev, is the Knisa. Gvola Svas Saviv, when we speak about Loish Nahachi, Vloish Nahachi, whether the Amma of the width was 5 or 6, it's well. All it works. Why? The Mar explains. Mizbeach Amma Hava, how tall was the Mizbeach according to this? Chamish V'tamnim, because some were 6 and some were 5. Pagdim, if the height total, the 10 Ammas, were 58 Tfachim, Pagdim is Be'er Kamahava, what's the midpoint? Esrim V'tishna. Be'kanes Tzoyev Kamahava, Esrim V'tlosa. Kamabotzel Pagdim is Be'ach, from the 23 Tefach point, from the top of the Mizbeach, where the Kohen stood on the ledge doing his Avodah, how much is there from that 23 spot to the midpoint of the Mizbeach? Shita, which is exactly 6 Tfachim, which is exactly an Amma. And therefore it makes sense, if he squeezed the blood of the oil soif up to an am, it's still kosher, because there's still an amma from where he's standing till the lower half of the mizbeach. Take an ami, the ksiv, cheka amma v'amma roichiv. The pasuk says that the amma of the base and the amma of the width, the pasuk using different separating the two types of amma, want to tell us that in one place we use the 6 tefach amma when it comes to the width, and the other place we used a 5 tefach amma when it comes to the height. Shema mina down the dimensions of the Mizbeach and the mention of the Azara all fit perfectly.